What's going on, Broncos country? Welcome to the show. This is the post-draft podcast edition. My name is Zach Fisher, and was that offseason not amazing? I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm pretty excited for the future of the Broncos, man. I'll give you my takes on everything Broncos and more next. So I was listening to Colin Cowher the other day on Fox Sports, and you know, he made some great points. He said that people who succeed at their dreams or goals, you know, granted, don't get me wrong, you deserve the credit, but you really deserve only like 75% of the credit. The remaining percentage normally goes to those dummies that missed out on you. You know who I'm talking about. You know, he continued by saying that dynasties and teams, they're normally made up of stupid mistakes by other teams. For example, Peyton Manning, he was cut from the Colts. Why? Because they thought he was injured and he was past his prime. Well, that was a big mistake. DeMarcus Ware, he was cut from the Cowboys because he was also past his prime, quote unquote. Again, big mistake. Heck, Champ Bailey. Anybody remember how we got Champ? We traded him for Clinton Portis from Washington. I mean, granted, let's be real here. Clinton Portis turned out to be a very good running back, but I would take that trade any day of the week. I don't know about you, but I'd take that trade any day of the week. Now, all of these were big mistakes made by someone else that turned into huge blessings for us. Going into the draft, four of the top analysts had Bradley Chubb ranked number one on their board. Number one. I have a Chiefs fan, or Chiefs, a friend who's a Chiefs fan, who tweeted the other day, "Browns, what the heck, man? You had one job. One job. Keep Chubb out of the hands of the Broncos. And you couldn't even do that." Yeah, needless to say, he was not a happy camper. But I'll be honest, man, it kind of feels like the Browns do this on a yearly basis. So I'm not shocked by it at all. But hey, what was their big mistake for them? We can all agree, turned out to be a pretty good blessing for us. And if I'm being completely honest, turned out to be probably the best pick in the NFL draft. I know being a Bronco fan, I'm a little biased. But I really think that was probably the best pick in the draft. The 2018 draft for the Broncos was like defensive heaven because of mistakes of other people. We brought in some amazing talent that I truly believe is going to turn this team into one of the best defenses in history. You know, as if that wasn't enough, when we took Bradley Chubb at number five, I think everyone was as shocked as I was, but I don't think anybody was as excited as Von Miller. Check this out. Oh, man. I love that video. And if you have not yet seen that video, you really got to get on there and look at it. It is hilarious. It just cracks me up. God, I like Vaughn. He just has that, great quality to him. But really, what I think's funny is I think when you look in that video, and by the way, you can find that video on any of his social media sites. I'm talking Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook. You can find him anywhere. But what I think is funny about that video is you can really see in his face that this looked like, oh yeah. Oh yeah, it's game on, baby. Game on. Because let's be real. I think the biggest issue we had last year was the fact that Von Miller got double teamed. It seemed like every play he got double teamed. And so now you're going to bring in Chubb. And I just think his reaction is kind of, who are you going to double team now? You can't double team us all. You know, here's the thing I'm going to say. Vaughn had said that Chubb was a mixture of himself and Khalil Mack. So you're going to bring that guy in, and you're going to list him in with these group of names. Hear me out. Vaughn Miller, Derek Wolfe, Shane Ray. Heck, the list goes on and on. Shaq Barrett, Chris Harris, Roby. I mean, can you say Super Bowl bound? Listen to these stats of Chubb at NC State. So he broke Mario Williams' school record of 26 sacks in a career. He also had 60 total career tackles for a loss. Let that sink in for a minute. This guy coming onto this team, I'll just say this, I am so excited to see what he brings to the table next season. But here's the thing, we didn't even stop there. Bradley Chubb was only the beginning of a handful of steals in the draft. Heck, Elway was robbing people. His new nickname should be the Bandit. We continued piling on the defensive side in the third round when we selected Isaac Yeadom, cornerback from Boston College. This dude was another great pick. Yeadom's 6'1", 190 pounds. He played four seasons at Boston College, and he put up some insane numbers during that time. During his four-year career, Yeadom totaled 110 tackles, three tackles for a loss, three interceptions, 22 pass deflections, and a forced fumble. Can you say rock star? He'll be joining the no-fly zone with Chris Harris and Bradley Roby, fighting for that third spot on the roster. I'm going to tell you right now, I am excited beyond belief on this kid coming in. A little side note, the Broncos coached Yeadom at the Reese Senior Bowl back in January, so they got to know him pretty well. So I think that this pick was exactly who they were wanting in the draft. We also added another defensive prospect in the fourth round, who I'm really excited to see moving into the future. In the fourth round, we took Jose Jewell, linebacker from Iowa. Now, I want you to listen to these stats, and you tell me this guy can't get to the ball. All right? In his career, he totaled 437 tackles. That ranks him number four on the all-times list at Iowa. He had six interceptions and 26 pass breakups. And to top it off, the guy won the Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year award. I have a very good feeling about this draft pick, and I think he's going to be a great addition to that no-fly zone. We continued stacking the chips on the defense in the undrafted free agency, picking up Jeff Holland, edge rusher from Auburn. So this guy's 6'2", 249 pounds. He racked up a team high of 10 sacks, which earned him a first-team All-SEC in his junior season. You know, from what I've seen of the highlight reels on YouTube, I'm going to tell you right now, this guy is a beast. Do yourself a favor. Go check out his highlight reels. Actually, check out all these highlight reels because these guys are amazing. Next player we picked up was Lowell. And okay, so we're going to do a little learning here of this guy's last name. All right? And say it with me. It's Lowell Lotulelei. Lotulelei. Oh, that's a tongue twister. Lotulelei. I think everybody got it. He's defensive tackle from Utah. He's 6'2", 315 pounds. He had 103 total tackles. 23 of them were for losses. And 10 sacks in his career at Utah. In fact, his brother Star is currently playing for the Buffalo Bills. So when it comes to the defensive draft class, we got to remember not only the draft picks we brought in, but who they're joining, and not just the Bronco veterans. I'm talking about the people that we brought in the free agency. For example, we brought in Sua Griffins from the Washington Redskins. Now, this guy was drafted in the second round, but we pretty much paid a third and fourth round price tag for him. Then you take into account the fact we brought in Clinton McDonald, defensive tackle from Tampa Bay. You know, I think the signing was more made to improve the depth chart. But really, if we're being honest, I really think that he could be one of those picks that we look back on, and it really was better than we ever expected. Kind of similar to what happened with Pecco last season. So now let's take a look at that offensive side of the ball. All right. So we started building the offense of the future in the second round when we took Cortland Sutton out of SMU. In his 4 years at SMU, he racked up 195 receptions, 3,220 yards, and he had 31 touchdowns. John Elway had even tweeted after they drafted him that he really thought he was a first-round talent and that they're surprised they got him in the second round and that there is some huge upside to that pick. Now, I'm telling you right now, if Elway's saying there's some huge upside, I really think we have something big to look forward to. So that being said, and in fact, Emmanuel Sanders, a fellow SMU alum, trained with him earlier this spring and even tweeted to congratulate him after the draft, in which Cortland responded, "Let's get it." You know, from everything that I'm reading, it really seems like he could turn out to be a number one or number two wide receiver on our depth chart in the near future. One of the things that I saw that I really liked was that multiple teams were looking to draft up and get him, including, hear this one, the Dallas Cowboys. The main reason they wanted him was they were hoping they can use him as a replacement to the loss of Dez Bryant. So if the Dallas Cowboys are going after him to replace Dez Bryant, I think we did pretty good considering we walked away with him in the second round. We selected in the fourth round running back Royce Freeman from Oregon. Let me just say this right off the bat. I freaking love this pick. Love it. No, now that we got rid of CJ Anderson, we needed to bring in that big bruising back that will just combine with Booker. You know, I kind of see those two as like thunder and lightning. You can't have one without the other. To top it off, if our offensive line can do their job and get him some holes, this guy can take off and go when there's green acres in front of him. Kind of reminds me of a CJ Anderson, only faster. To give you an idea of how big this guy is, listen to this. He's 5'11", 229 pounds, and he ran a 4.54 40-yard dash at the combine. I mean, wow. I'd be lucky if I ran a 5.4 40-yard dash. In 2017, he appeared in 12 games and rushed for 1,475 yards and had 16 touchdowns, averaging just 6 yards a carry in his career. All this led to him leading the Pac-12 in rushing yards and being recognized as a semifinalist for the Doak Walker Award, which, if you guys don't know what that award is, that's the award for the top running back in the nation. Okay, and if that wasn't enough, in his career at Oregon, he appeared in 51 games and had 5,621 yards and 60 touchdowns, making him the all-time rush leader in Oregon history. Can you say rock star? The next player we took in the fourth round was DeSean Walker, wide receiver from Penn State. Now, this receiver's stats, they really speak for themselves. He had a catch in 51 of the 53 consecutive games, was the only Lion to ever catch over 200 passes in his career. He has some amazing hands and is a great route runner. Heck, John Elway even tweeted after the selection was made this. He said, quote, "A very solid and versatile wide receiver from Penn State who does a tremendous job in all aspects of his game." That's high praise coming from Elway. In the fifth round, we took tight end Troy. Here's another one. Here's another last name to learn. Say it with me. Fumagalli. Troy Fumagalli from Wisconsin. He led the Badgers in receptions each of the past two seasons. As a senior, he caught 46 passes for 547 yards and 4 touchdowns, earning him a second-team All-American honors. He was also named a finalist for the John Mackey Award. And to top it off, this guy, he won the 2017 Big Ten Tight End of the Year Award, which was last year held by ours truly, Jake Butt. Now, in the second round, we took Arizona State's guard, Sam Jones. Now, here's a cool fact about him. He actually graduated from high school in Highlands Ranch. So, hey, Sam, welcome home, man. That is so awesome. Congratulations. I know you and your family are probably excited beyond belief to be playing for one of the best organizations in the whole NFL. So I am super stoked you're here, man. John Elway had tweeted after the selection that he was a hard-nosed, gritty football player. See, he's 6'5", 305 pounds. He's a three-year starter and earned all Pac-12 honors last year. Really, from what I've read and seen from this guy, he has some great footwork and good follow-through. I personally think that if he can just get into Dove Valley and really put the work in, I could really see him making the roster and really helping us moving forward. We finished off the draft with a 7th-round pick at running back, selecting David Williams out of Arkansas. Now, all in all, I think when we look at this draft, Elway was really stacking up on the running backs. I could see David really coming in and helping us in the sub-down packages as well as the red zone packages, and I'm just really intrigued to see how they use this guy moving forward. We also picked up some really great talent in the undrafted free agent market for the offense. We picked up Austin Schultman, center from TCU. He had honorable mention all Big 12 last year. He started all 14 games. And here's what's really cool about this guy. He can really move throughout the line because, listen to this, he made 8 starts at center and 6 at right guard. So we can move him throughout the line, which is exactly what we need moving into next year, in my opinion. Now, Philip Lindsay, a.k.a. the Tasmanian Devil from Colorado, is a running back. He's 5'8", 190 pounds. And here's a little cool fact. He just signed a $15,000 signing bonus with the Denver Broncos. So there must be something about him that shows future potential. So some stats for you. He had, in 51 games during his 4 years at Boulder, he racked up a CU record of 4,859 yards from scrimmage. One of the 11 finalists of the Doak Walker Award last season. He also made the second team all Pac-12. Lindsey's also the only CU player to rush for over 1,000 yards in consecutive seasons. Let me just say, I'm pretty sure this guy's going to find a roster spot very well. And actually, I heard that they're really looking to put him at kick returner, which is exactly the spot that one of the spots we needed to fill going into next year. So I'm excited to see this guy take off. I've watched some of his highlight reels. He is, well, I know I keep saying this, but he is a beast. Next person we signed was Jimmy Williams, wide receiver from ECU. And then Leon Johnson, offensive tackle from Temple. Now I'm really excited about this one because I really think one of the holes was our right tackle position. And bringing him in, from everything I've read, he possesses great strength and athleticism for his size. You know, he has a basketball background, so he can really move his feet pretty well. And all that I've heard is that he has great footwork and that he's very strong. So I'm very excited about this. And I just think that, really, I like what Denver did on the offensive side of the ball. You know, although I'm not going to lie, if I'm being completely honest, there was one guy I wanted to see in orange and blue, and that was Baker Mayfield. And I know there's a lot of people out there like, why? Why him? I just like his attitude. I like his competitive nature. Now, granted, he is in orange now, only it's not the orange that wins championships. It's the orange that, well, good quarterbacks go to die. But on all seriousness, I think if we learned anything from the Denver Broncos draft in this offseason, it was that they were building this offense for either Case Keenum or Lynch going into the future. And if I had to push all my chips in on one of them, I would probably have to push my chips in on Case Keenum. You know, with better protection, a more versatile rushing attack, a pass-catching tight end, and a solid number 3 wide receiver, I can really see Case Keenum having a very good career here in Denver. Now, I'm going to say this. I'm kind of shooting for somebody in particular, though. If I'm being completely honest, I would love to see Chad Kelly suit up as our quarterback. That title of Mr. Irrelevant, that annoys me. Because I think that the underdog stories are always the best ones. And if you watched him in college, he was a very good quarterback in college. So I'm excited to see how he does moving forward. So, with that being said, I think with the new additions on both the offensive defense, heck, even the special teams, you guys got to remember, we did bring in Marquette King. You know, now I know, like a lot of you, I won't lie, I do laugh at him dancing on the field after he punts the ball. But I would be dancing too if I was that good, man. Listen to these stats. Out of 426 punts that he did in Oakland in his career, 126 of them landed within the 20-yard line. I also heard that he kicked an 87-yard punt in Oakland one time. Now, granted, it was during practice, but still, you guys got to remember one thing. We're a mile above sea level. Can you imagine the hang time this guy's going to have here in Denver? All right, so last but not least, you know, I just want to take a couple minutes here and just do a little honorable mention from the draft. And we all know those moments in the draft where, you know, they just really tug at your heartstring. And this draft was no different. And I'm going to tell you this right now. Do yourself a favor and just go look up these moments. The first moment is when Austin Denton got from New Mexico, had the opportunity to come out and announce the fifth pick in the NFL draft. Now, I will tell you this. This kid, he's a freaking rock star. You know, he fought cancer and won. If you haven't heard his story, go look it up. It is amazing. This kid is a true inspiration. The second moment is when Ryan Shazier stole the show and walked out on that stage to announce the Steelers pick. I mean, I don't think there was a dry eye in that stadium. Heck, I saw primetime crying. I'm going to tell you this. If you have not seen or read this guy's story from the accident, you need to go and check this out. There was an article I was reading that talked about how he would never walk again. And the fact that he walked out on that stage and proved all of them wrong. I mean, God is great, man. God is great. But there's one last person that I want to recognize. And that's Shaquem Griffin. Now, this one really touches home to me because of the fact that, well, I too was born with a hand deformity. What's awesome about this story is what he had to go through to get to where he is now. And hear me out. I'm not talking about the field stuff. That's amazing in itself. But I'm talking about the off-the-field stuff. I don't think people realize how amazing that moment was that night. And trust me, from somebody who has a hand deformity, to see this guy define all the odds, I can tell you right now, that's amazing. And it's tough. I mean, teachers, coaches, people out there telling you that you'll never amount to anything. There's one point where they were doing an interview with him, and he said that a coach had told him this. Now, listen to this. I can't believe a coach would say this, but a coach told him that he wouldn't amount to anything because football was a two-handed sport. Remember what I said earlier about those stupid mistakes people make? There was a big mistake. I mean, we're talking about the name-calling, the bullying, all of it. Just to see him be able to define all the odds, it's just awe-inspiring what he's been able to accomplish, and I applaud him. One last thing. If you haven't seen the video of his brother welcoming him to the NFL, I really encourage you to go onto YouTube and just check it out. You may want to grab some tissues because it's quite a tearjerker, but it's amazing. And I'll say this, there's one moment where he talks about how he knows he wouldn't be anywhere today if it wasn't for his brother standing by his side, and how regardless of the situation, good or bad, he was always there. And that really makes me want to say something. And I want to give a shout out to my brother, Ben Fisher, out of Grand Junction. You see, Shaquem said a couple things in the video that really stuck home to me. The first was just that how amazing family is when it comes to support and how it's great to have a support system in a family because it does help you move forward. But nothing beats having someone that no matter what, come hell or high water, will stand there with you side by side. You know, someone who will literally walk through hell with you and come out the other side still loving you. Shaquem, I know that Shaquem probably was not always the friendliest person. I know from my personal experience, I was not always the friendliest person to my brother. Sometimes I took his love and his support for granted. So I know that that happens. And for anybody who is a sibling to someone with disability, I'm just going to tell you right now, on behalf of everyone, thank you. And I don't like the word disability because disability, like Shaquem said, it means that you can't do something. And I truly believe that you can do anything you want with God on your side. And if you just put it in your mind, you can achieve anything. So I don't like that word, but I just wanted to say thank you guys so much. You don't understand the major roles you guys play in people like us in our lives. Shaquem said it best. He said, you know, you may think you know my story, but that dude right there, that guy lived it with me. And through it all, he stood by my side. Now, I know, Ben, I know you don't like this mushy stuff, so I'll try and keep it short, but I just really wanted to personally say, I know that I didn't show it a lot growing up, but you don't understand how grateful and honored and blessed I truly feel to have you as my brother. I know for a fact, like Shaquem said about his brother, I'll say it about mine. I wouldn't be where I am today and I wouldn't be the man I am today if it wasn't for you. I love you, man. Okay. So now that's all taken care of, let's wrap this thing up. You know, I was taking some questions from fans, and a friend of mine, Jeff out of Kansas, asked, do you really think the Broncos can make the playoffs, let alone the Super Bowl, with the offseason they had? And my answer is simple. Go get those tickets. We're going all the way, man. It's in Atlanta this year, so you better start buying those tickets now. I don't know if they're on sale, but if they're not, start saving up that money. Another common concern that I heard from a lot of fans was the concern about our offensive line. And really, I think the big thing is that I think John Elway addressed that in the draft as well as the undrafted free agency. So all in all, I think we had a great offseason, and I'm super excited to see where we go this next year. So to wrap this up, you know, I just want to invite you guys to go to the fan page and check out some of the different clubs that and activities that the Broncos offer. There's a couple that my family are involved in, one of which is the Crush for Women, and the other is the 7K series. The Crush for Women is a Broncos club for women over the age of 21. And if you join, you're invited to participate in exclusive events, kind of like the Crush Workout series and Crush Night Out. Really, it's just kind of like a good way to get ladies involved. You know, whether you guys are diehard fans or you just want to meet like-minded women. It's a really good opportunity for ladies. And also, the 7K series is the other one we are involved in. And it's a series of 7K races throughout Colorado. And really, they're just designed to help keep Broncos country fit. I've run the past 3 years now. And really, the one thing I will say is that if you are going to go, bring some extra water with you, because when you guys go flying by me, can you just like throw me one of the bottles of water? Hey, my motto is, I don't have to be first, but I am sure not going to be last. So the first one has already taken place, and it was in Fort Collins on April 21st. But there will be another one in Grand Junction on Saturday, June 30th, and the race and Fit Expo in Denver on Sunday, September 2nd. And that's going to be at the stadium. So what's really cool about that is that when you finish the race, you get to finish on the 50-yard line of the Broncos Stadium. Trust me, it is quite an experience, especially when you're standing in the middle of Broncos Stadium. It's amazing. So they're adding another race, and I just want to make this clear. They're adding another race in Pueblo this year. And so just make sure that you get on to www.denverbroncos.com/7K series, and they'll release those dates. It says to be announced, so they'll be releasing those dates soon. But that's where you can get on. You can get registered is denverbroncos.com/7K series. Also, if you have a health or fitness-related business, you might actually check into renting a booth at the Expo Center to showcase your business. And I'm going to tell you right now, what better customer fan base than the Denver Broncos, the greatest fans in the whole world. Anyways, visit the site. You can see all the clubs, all the activities. They have kids clubs, they have fan meetups, and tons more. All in all, I just want to tell you guys what a great honor and privilege this has been just to be able to share my passion. And I thank you guys so much for just indulging in this fantasy with me for the time being. And I am just so excited for the future and what the future holds for the Broncos. Most importantly, I want to thank the Denver Broncos organization for this opportunity. And I cannot forget the big man upstairs, because without him, none of this would have been possible. I thank you guys so much. Remember, start saving your money for those tickets to Atlanta, because we're going to the Super Bowl, baby. But hey, go Broncos.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.